This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Jonathan Page at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. We begin our summer series entitled Church Words. He will bring us a lesson about the word sanctification. Brother Page is the pulpit minister at the Saraland Church of Christ in Saraland, Alabama. And now, Brother Page.
I'm convinced on tonight that we are all trying to make heaven our home, our expected end. And I tell you, you've done so much to get here tonight. Perhaps you had car trouble. Maybe the kids were acting up. Wednesday night's so hard to make it to the assembly. But tonight I want to talk to you about the ideal of sanctification. And really I want to motivate you to the ideal of faithfulness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 39, "For we're not those who draw back into perdition, but we're those who believe unto the saving of the soul." I want us to be convinced, I want us to believe on tonight, that God has an expected end for His people, and thus we need to be very much encouraged. Don't give up. Don't turn around. Keep running. Keep fighting the fight. Tonight, by way of reminder, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I do believe that 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, beginning at the verse 14 where we're going to begin tonight, gives great insight on this ideal of sanctification. The Bible uses the term holy, consecrate, and sanctification all the time to describe the one phrase of sanctification. And the ideal is to be set apart. The ideal is to be made clean, to be made holy. And I'm convinced tonight that as God's people, we try to compartmentalize too much. I tell you, the commandment from the beginning was, "Be ye holy." And that's what we need to consider on tonight. Beginning there at verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen to what the Bible says. "For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, and rise again. Therefore, from now, we regard no longer according to the flesh, even though we are known to Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now we have all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him." I do believe what the Apostle Paul does in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is pretty much gives a synopsis of the life before Christ, the life in Christ, and perhaps the life in the future. Notice what he says there in verse number 14. He says that, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he has died for all, those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again. Therefore, now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer." The first thing we need to realize tonight is that sanctification is an order by God. That's God's order. Sanctification is God's law. From the beginning, it was that way. In the beginning, God made man and woman as his chosen vessels. Then he takes a little tribe of people named Israel, and he calls them my people. He calls them a select people, a prized possession that he would do his works and exploits through. And notice that what Paul does, he reminds us of the gospel. Remember, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 45, "For Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Notice he says that Christ died for all, that all may live for Christ. You're not sanctified because of your own doing. You're not sanctified because you were so sweet and because you were so holy. But God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to sanctify you. Tonight we need to be reminded that it was God's doing that did this. Listen, people in the world have the wrong kind of concept of God's people. And the concept they have of God's people is that we're holier than thou. Well, if the world isn't holy, what are we then? What are then we to call ourselves? Notice, he says that we shall no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died for us. That's the synopsis of the ideal of sanctification. I've laid everything down so I can follow Jesus. Brethren, I'm afraid that somewhere down the road, God's people have become so complacent that we've become so worldly that we've laid nothing down. The Bible talks about the sad reality that a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, he's not even fit for the kingdom of God. I look around tonight and we're nicely dressed. And we go to our homes and we have nice homes and we have good jobs. And we think we've done something for ourselves. But be mindful that it was God's eternal desire to make a prized people a prized possession. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14, if you turn your Bibles there. The Bible says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he that has called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Listen, God doesn't give very many reasons in Scripture for us to be holy, but that he's holy. You know, parents oftentimes tell children, you do this because I say it so. And that's not always a good explanation, but God in his infinite says, listen, you be holy, you be sanctified, because I said so. I planned it that way. I'm afraid that we're not living for God. I'm afraid that we're living for ourselves. Well, how then is one sanctified? Go to 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 13. Listen to what he writes to the brethren there. He says there in verse number 13, but we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning has showed you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief of the truth. How is one chosen by God? One is chosen by God through sanctification. Well, what must he sanctify? The Spirit and the truth, to which he called you by the gospel. Well, what's the truth? The gospel is the truth. He says, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want God's salvation, if you want God's glory, you got to obey the gospel. No one that's outside of Christ, no one that hasn't submitted themselves to the will of God could be called sanctified. What are they set apart from? Notice in context, the Apostle Paul says that it was God who chose this by the Spirit and belief of the truth when you were called by the gospel. There was one preaching and there was one teaching of the gospel. There was a preaching and teaching saying that you got to deny yourself and follow Jesus. There is a teaching that says you got to repent of your sins and confess faith in Christ. There is a teaching that says that one must be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved. That's how one is thus chosen to be sanctified. But if that's not enough for you, go to Hebrews chapter 12. That's one of my favorite scriptures in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 14. One of perhaps my favorite. He says there, chapter 12, verse number 14. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The ideal again of holiness is to be sanctified, to be holy, to be consecrated, to be clean. Without holiness, no one can see God. So we must get in our minds, if heaven is truly worth it all, are we going to choose to live the lifestyle of holiness? Brethren, I surmise on tonight, in an assembly like this, it's just us. And what I mean by just us is just pretty much Christians. There may be some visitors here on tonight, and we thank you for coming. But really tonight, I want to really focus on God's people. Because the charge of sanctification was given to God's people. That we should be holy, holy, holy. Brethren, if we're not holy, what are we then? I'm afraid we, like I said in the beginning, we compartmentalize too much. We talk about the work life. the Christian life, the home life. But what about just being holy? I want to be holy at home, at work, at church, at school, at play. I want to be holy everywhere I go. And thus, I need to choose God's lifestyle of holiness. But go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we were, and we're going to make another point. So the first point is that we need to realize that holiness is God's lifestyle that God chose for his people. And not only is it God's lifestyle that he chose for his people, but the ideal is that Christ died for you, that you may die unto yourself, there in verse number 14 through verse number 16. Then he says in verse number 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The second point on tonight is that sanctification has a testimony of transformation. And that needs to be understood, brethren. There needs to be a change that's taken place in your life now that you're a child of God. Now that you're in this body of Christ, there must be something that has changed. If you're still living the way you're living, perhaps you ain't been changed. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 with me real quick. Ephesians chapter number 4. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says beginning at verse number 17. Ephesians 4 verse number 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, that is uncleanness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And he tells them, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as in the truth of Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows and corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, and how's the new man created, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, he rebukes the brethren at Ephesus because they're walking like the Gentiles walked. And another way to say that, you're walking like the heathens. You still look like the world. And he's saying, don't do that, because if you do that, you have not so learned Christ. I love that verse number 17 that we just read. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen, tonight you need to understand something. Jesus did not come to make you a better person. Jesus did not come to make you a good friend or the best wife or the best husband. Jesus came to make you new. And if you're not new, there's something wrong in the process. Brother, we can't call ourselves God's people if we're picking up everything the world has. I tell you, what was it called when water gets into a boat? I don't know what's it called, but it's still a problem. It's not supposed to happen. And brother, I'm afraid that the world has gotten into the church and the church is convinced and okay with that kind of mindset. We think that we can gain the world by looking like the world. You can't do that. Jesus called us to be salt and light. We got to be new, brethren. You live this old life and you're not convinced, you're not living holy. No one's going to believe what you're saying. No one's going to be convinced that you've been changed and thus you're a child of God. Brethren, if our lives have not been touched, if our lives have not been changed, I tell you, I love that awesome story in Acts chapter 4 when the apostles are going around still preaching and teaching. And the Bible says that they took notice that they had been with Christ. Have people taken notice that we have been with Christ? Like Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 says, have we been, has our mind really changed? Has our actions changed? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I don't have much time on tonight. Beginning at verse number 9, I love this passage. The Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Listen, there are people that believe all you have to do to go to heaven or be in the kingdom of God is just live and die. And he says, do not be deceived. That is not the case. He says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to what he says in verse number 11. And such were some of you. Brethren, I don't know your sin that you dealt with before you came to Christ, but leave it there at the cross. Leave it in the water. I don't know what you're dealing with now, but take it off. because such were some of you. Brethren, if we have not been changed by the teaching and the preaching of the gospel, we need to go back and consult the manual because there's something wrong with us. What has happened to the church that it doesn't grieve us that brethren come in with nasty lifestyles and they sit and they worship among us and we don't say anything about it? That's not real love. I love the Apostle Paul's comments to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 16. He says, "Have I then become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" We scream and we say we're different. We say we're sanctified. We say we're Christians, but we still dress the same old way. We still have that bottle up under the bed. We still watch that stuff on TV. You ain't been changed. You have not so learned Christ. If we have been changed, everything about us has been changed. And such were some of you. He says, but you were sanctified. I'm sorry, but you were washed. That is baptism. One must be baptized thus to fulfill the commandments of entering into the kingdom of God. He says, but you were sanctified. God set you apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit and by the Spirit of our God. So he says, and such were some of you. There's a past life that you had, but I don't do those things anymore now that I'm in Christ. The ideal, the concept is everything about me changes. I don't go to the beach anymore in a bikini because I'm sanctified. I want to be covered up because God said, be ye holy. I don't watch the same things on TV because God said, be ye holy. I don't go this place and that a place and say, well, I'm not doing what they're doing and that's okay. No, be ye holy. God wants us to be different. The church is called the ecclesia, the called out, the assembly. And if we've been called out from the world, why would you go back? The other day I was doing some exercising, some walking and jogging, and a big dog came up to me and he was fierce and he meant business and I did too. And I said, hey, what's up? What do you want to do? And I talk to animals like that. And he just kept barking. You know, if that dog would have attacked me, I could have screamed for help and just screamed for help and just kept screaming for help. But you know, I wouldn't be saved from that dog until that dog's not on top of me anymore. Until my leg is not in his mouth, that's when I'm really delivered. And I'm afraid that some are still sinking in sin and still swimming in sin and saying that they're delivered. But Jesus, the lifeguard, wants to bring you back to shore. Brethren, we got to fix our minds. Change our heart. And that's really the problem. That if we don't really live different, we have nothing to boast about. And that is in Jesus. So what's your testimony on tonight? Can you say that, you know, I've been living clean. I've been living the way that God would have me to live. Or do people bring up the old you? It doesn't bother me that people bring up the old me because I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified. And what's the ideal of justification? The ideal is that God is being appeased. That God treats me just as though I have not done anything now that I'm in Christ. I'm afraid that we have just not been changed. The saddest rebuttal that's oftentimes given concerning God's people is that we're hypocrites. And I can't fight people sometimes because it's true. It's true. Have we come to worship truly to be holier than others, to have an appearance of righteousness, to have an appearance of godliness, and deny the power of God? Brethren, I want you to know tonight that God came to save and to sanctify you. God wants you to be different. I can't afford to lose everything and gain the world. Jesus asked the question in Mark chapter 16, verse 26. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And brother, you can put anything there. I don't know what your vice is on tonight, but I want you to know that I'm changed. If that's not our testimony, brethren, I'm afraid we're missing the mark. Back in our context in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there at verse number 18, notice what he says. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of sanctification. Not only should we as God's people choose the lifestyle of holiness, because that's God's lifestyle, and the lifestyle of holiness, it brings about the testimony of transformation, but also the ideal of sanctification really shows God's power to save. It shows that God can really save people. You know, you don't believe anyone has lost weight till you start seeing signs of it, you know. You may look at somebody and say, well, you know, they may have lost some weight. But until you start seeing major signs of it, you really don't believe it. And sanctification is really identification with the world that God has the power to save you. I want you to be convinced tonight and realize that you were not saved because of anything you've done. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, but is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace have you been saved. Grace is a great concept. Grace is a concept that's throughout all Scripture. But notice, he says there in verse number 18, that God reconciled us. God brought us back into fellowship, into relation. And brethren, why did God have to bring us back? Because of sin. Sin's a nasty thing. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, that it separates us from God. And God don't hear us when we're in that kind of sin situation. Truly, if we as God's people have received the ministry of reconciliation, it shows God's power to save. Truly, when we're walking around as hypocrites and not living a life of sanctification, we're showing people God don't have the power to save. And the real problem is that I haven't made up my mind, I haven't made up my heart to follow Jesus. And perhaps that's a heart issue. Perhaps we're hitting all the symptoms, but never really getting to the real problem. And I pray that that's not the case. Notice what he says there in verse number 19. He says, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Then he says there in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is pleading with us that we shall implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Not only are you to show God's power and salvation through sanctification, but he begs us not to get tied up with the world. He calls us ambassadors. We speak for Christ. We represent Christ. Every action I endorse has to have a stamp of Jesus on it. Listen, our country is in a foul place right now. And they call us names. They call us holier than thou. And they say we think we're better than everybody. And they call the church offensive. But one day, they're going to need us. You may remember in the flood that God had the great ideal to close the door. And when the waters came, there were people trying to be saved. But Noah had preached 120 years this word of salvation. And here they are. Now when the rain falls, they want salvation. And brethren, I'm convinced before the fire falls, before the trumpet sounds, before Jesus steps on the cloud, they're going to look at the church and want to find the answers. And if we have not held up God's standard, we can't give them any answers. Learn to be equipped. Learn to give a ready answer. Learn that my life is truly an example for the world. If Jesus is not here, and if Jesus has left us to be examples, can the world see Jesus in the church? I'm afraid that we let so much of stuff just get in the way. And here he calls us ambassadors. We're pleading with the world to turn to Jesus, because that's the role of sanctification. Showing the world, listen, this is what God can do. Listen, this is the exploit that God can do through people. Notice what he says as he's wrapping up in verse number 21. He says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Brethren, Christ had no sin, but he took on sin for us, that we can display God's righteousness. Brethren, don't get tied up into something. Don't get tied up into anything that's going to make you look like the world. Don't get tied up into anything that's going to take your heart from God. In closing on tonight, I do believe that there's some stumbling blocks to sanctification. In the Old Testament, it's described this way, that God marries Israel, and Israel becomes a whore. And she whores after other gods. And she goes after this God, and that God, and that God, and that God. And God still wants this whore of a woman, Israel. And that's the same problem we have today in the Lord's church. We're whoring around with the world. We got too many love affairs. We're committing adultery with God. The first love affair we have is that we love the world. And there's a rebuke, there's a prohibition in Scripture about loving the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? For all that's in the world is lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world. We see something, we think about something, we want to go out and get it, and we just love the world. Why do you love it so much? You can't take it with you. You want to keep relationships with these people that they don't care if you go to heaven. They don't care if you live a sanctified life. They don't care if you see Jesus in peace. They just want to hang out with you on Friday and Saturday night. And we get tied up with those kind of people because we're playing the harlot with Jesus. The church is playing the harlot. And I'm afraid we have convinced ourselves that it's okay to go here and to go there because Jesus, indeed, he ate with sinners. And Jesus did this and Jesus did that. Listen, brethren, you're not strong enough, most of you. You're just not strong enough to do it. Next week, some people love darkness. I remember in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us in verse 8 and 9, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Then he comes around in John 3, 19. He says, and this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. That's why most people won't be saved, because they love darkness more than light. Light comes and testifies of the greatness of God. But Satan wants you to be blind. Satan wants you in darkness. And Satan wants you to be his. And listen, heaven was not made for God's people. Heaven was not made for the church. But yet you love darkness. I tell you, light exposes everything. And darkness tries to hide and cover itself up. Listen, we're in a dark, dark world. And if you let your light out, you can't lead anyone home. Don't love darkness. But then there's some that love the praises of others. They don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to call a spade a spade. They don't want to stand up for the truth. They want to be cowards. They just want to be, and they say it's loving. They say that's what love is, you know. That's not love. But they love the praises of men. They don't want to be anyone's enemy. The Bible says, speaking of the Pharisees, many of the Pharisees there in John chapter 12, they believed on Jesus. Then the Bible says there in verse number 34 that they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Are we like that? Is that a stumbling block to our salvation? That we rather had not be called by names. We rather had not the world call us names. We rather had not just be confrontational. Just, we don't want to rock the boat. It's just the same place we are. This is a pretty big auditorium. And so many people have responsibilities. But some people love money. There are some people that aren't here tonight because they love money. It's not that they have to work that extra shift. They just love that money. And the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Brethren, tonight I'm convinced that if we're going to stand foursquare against Satan and all of his devices, we got to commit to this ideal of sanctification. Listen to what Jesus, well, what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 4. He says, "My little children, these things are right to you that you do not sin. For as anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." John writes to a group of people and encouraged them not to sin. Try your best to fall in love with Jesus and don't sin. But if you do sin, Jesus wants you back. And tonight, we don't need to be preaching weakness to people. We don't need to be preaching defeat. We need to be preaching victory. Because if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to believe every word to the saving of our soul. I'll leave you with one more scripture tonight, and the lesson is yours. By way of encouragement, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from evil." Tonight, ask yourself the question, does God know me? Is my sanctification making a real difference in the world? Can I learn to love God more than sin? Can I depart from that which is evil and submit wholly to God? Listen, Jesus is coming back for a sanctified, clean church. A church, he says, without spot and without wrinkle. And I endeavor tonight to live my life as a young man in submission to the will of God. And I pray that that's your motivation on tonight. I pray that the words I've taught tonight have pricked your soul. Sanctification has a testimony of transformation. That sanctification was chosen by God. That sanctification means we don't get tied up with the world. Sanctification means that we're ambassadors for Christ. And we don't need to let anything, our love affairs, that is, be a stumbling block to our sanctification. I bid you God's be on tonight. Thank you.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.